So, good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Very good. Good.
Good. So, I'm setting you up today. This is not our normal channel. I want to ask you a couple of questions. They're not about technology, they're more about business and sales and marketing. Ready?
Wait, do we get to take a vote?
Wait, one more sip of coffee before this question.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you guys remember the Justice League?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We're talking the cartoon, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
The whole concept, right? If you are a millennial, you may remember the Avengers. So the Justice League was made out of, Superman and Aquaman, Wonder Woman, like whatever. If you were in the Justice League, and the Justice League did nothing but business, sales, and marketing, what would be your superpower? So, Superman can fly, Aquaman can go underwater, Wonder Woman can, I think, disappear or invisible like every other woman, and I'm more like Batman, right? I don't have any superhero powers, but I know lots of technology gadgets, right?
Gizmos,
Yeah, that's who I am. Chris, who are you and why?
that's a darn good question.
That's
Wonder Woman
why.
had the lasso of truth, right? So
So think of
I
business
think,
and sales and marketing and tell me who you are.
well, I'm thinking that. Oh, so wait a minute. So this is who I am? What
Yeah.
is my special power today?
Yeah, what is your superpower?
Oh gosh.
Which is not fair to Steve because now Steve is thinking about
It's awesome. I like this game.
my superpower is to wait 30 seconds while Steve answers his. No, I would say that my superpower is to be reasonably good at a lot of different things. And that's why I do well at startups. Because at startups, you have to be a jack of all trades. And I know I've done a lot of jobs. I've done sales and marketing and operations and all sorts of things. And so I'm really good at being able to multitask and cut through the bullshit and understand what's important and get the important stuff done when there's too much stuff to do.
So you're like a chameleon of startups.
Yeah.
Chameleon of startups.
I
I
never
think
thought
so.
about what you just said, that people in startups are more a jack of all trades, but a master of real none, one particular thing, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, in a startup you have to be, you have to be able to do 17 different things. So you have to be able to read a contract, and you have to be able to read a customer in a meeting, and you have to be able to write reasonably well and be willing to take the garbage out.
I really, really like that. So, if you and I were in business together, it would be, we would be able to do things in a wide variety of spectrum. I like that. I really, really like that.
I mean, it's useful in a startup. It's not quite so useful in a large organization because then you become a cog in the machine and you're doing the same thing again and again and again. And for somebody like me, I get easily bored if I just do the same thing.
You blew my mind today. Thank you.
Man, how do you even see now? How do I live up to that?
I don't know, Steve. Steve, I don't know.
I may be having signal problems.
Because it doesn't end here, right? Because there's another question coming after this. But,
Gosh.
Steve,
All right.
what is your superpower? By the way, Steve, be nice to Chris because the next question, you're going first.
Son of a. Well, yeah, good. So, I would say my superpower is the ability to get to the right person to get in the door of a company and get the right meeting.
Wow. I wasn't expecting another good one. So you're the, you have the gatekeeper power.
Yes.
Well, is it a gatekeeper power or is it just to identify the right person?
It's kind of both. You got to identify the right person and you got to get through the gate.
Tell me about that.
I think it's, right, I mean, finding the right person, it's easier, becoming easier and easier, I think, to find out who the right person is. But I think the trick is the gates are getting harder and harder and harder to get through, right? So you've got to know the right path to get to the right person to get the meeting, right? I think it's also something that's important with a startup and why I've been good at startups, right? When you're a startup, you don't have big name cachet or, you know, some of the other connections that you need to break into some of these larger companies to get in and get some business, right?
Can you give me an example of that one?
Let me see if I can give you I'll try and give you a real good example. Well, I think one of my customers there in New York City is a great example, right? Where I knew how to get to the CIO of one of the divisions. That CIO got me to the CIO of the corp, right? You get the meeting, right? You're going to knock it out of the park, and then you get the business. So, right, when you know you're competing with the bigger guys. I'm not going to give a customer name, but...
No, I know who he is.
You know who it is.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for those are two great questions, but it's interesting that you think you still work for a startup, Steve.
Yeah, it's not quite a startup as it so much. But you know, our line of business that I'm working for is a growth part of our business, right? So in that sense we're kind of starting it up.
Okay. So here comes the next question.
Wait a minute, Marco, you didn't answer the first one.
I told you I was Batman. I don't have any real superpower. I am Batman.
No, but explain how Batman is useful in business.
So, I wasn't ready to answer this question.
Turnabout is fair play.
That's right.
So, I would think that my superhero power would be relationship sales. So, and I think I've said so enough time now that I don't have to say it for the rest of the week. As I said, I wasn't ready to answer this question, but here it is, okay? My superhero power would be to be able to be customer-centric. To me, in sales, and specifically the sales that I do, there's nothing more important than having the trust of the customer. And if you don't want to be friends with the customer, you will not be able to do business at the level that I do. You can be lucky, right? But I'm moving not, you know, I'm not selling the Onion or the iWatch, which sold more items than the Android that ever did. I'm selling things that cost millions and millions and millions of dollars and are not a one-time hit, right? So it's almost like a marriage. I'm marrying my customer, right? And if you don't want to be married to this person, you cannot do business with them. If they sense that you don't like them or if you don't like them, it's not going to happen, right? Now, I can tell you that some of the powers that I have grown would be around marketing. I've been spending a lot of time understanding marketing, and I'm attending classes at Wharton and Harvard to be able to get better at marketing.
All right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. So I want to hear Steven's question now.
So, damn, I thought he was going to forget.
No.
When you turn that around on him.
So, closing that discussion, okay, because these two things are going to be clearly in two different places, but Steve, here's your question. Once again, we have the superhero. The I don't remember what that room was called. The Hall of Justice, right?
Yeah.
I actually cannot believe that I remember that. So the Hall of Justice are sitting around the table, and there's the big round table, and there's Superman, and there's Wonder Woman, there's Aquaman. You know, he really likes Aquaman, but he's at the table anyway. There might be some racial issues with him. But they're all sitting around the table. And you come in to the room. And you come into the room because you're going to interview your favorite superhero. Right? But here's the setup. Think of yourself in business today. Think of the people that you may be reporting to, maybe working for, or maybe one of your mentors or heroes. You have a chance to meet with them, right? What happens when you find out he doesn't have a superpower?
And after I pass out and pick myself back up off the floor?
Yeah, you know, you're working for a guy, right? Or you, in your case, you meet Mark Cuban.
Hey, he was at the Rockets game last night where I was.
I know, that's what I said. That's why I said it. So you realize that he doesn't have a superhero power. Have you ever done that? Have you ever talked to a boss? I mean, not now, back in the past. And you sit down with this guy who's the CEO of the company, four or five levels up from you, whoever he might be, and you realize he doesn't have a superhero power. You can think about it all you want. I know you're thinking and stalling, Steve.
Yeah. I think that's when you say, it's interesting. So you ask me, what do I do from an interview perspective?
Okay.
Or
Chris, he's stalling, right? He's stalling right now, right? So you
give me this question one more time.
Sure.
So I'm coming in to interview somebody. I sit down to interview them, and I find out they don't have a superpower.
So you're the CEO of your company, CEO of Accenture, calls you in, mm-hmm. right? What was his name? It wasn't Forehand. It was the guy.
He obviously didn't have a superpower.
So he calls you in, and you are going to meet the guy that is doing $23 billion a quarter. You're sitting down. You're ready to be wowed. You're having lunch with him. You're not interviewing him. You're just having lunch with him. Mm-hmm. And you realize he doesn't have a superhero power.
I have my lunch, and then I figure out how I can get his job.
Okay, so tell me more about that. So you're saying because he doesn't have a superhero, you're going to take his job?
No. I think a lot of these guys don't have superpowers, right? If you want to think of it in that context of these CEOs, right? I think there are very few of them that have a superpower, right? You know, anymore.
Do you expect them to have a superpower?
You know, I think I've met enough of these guys that are CEOs, you know, tech leaders, tech visionaries that, I don't really expect some of these guys to be, you know, amazing or have some kind of superpower anymore.
Really? That's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't bother you that the guy doesn't have a superpower, okay? Uh-huh. Chris, you have enough time to think about this.
Okay. There's some weird noise going on. I don't know if you guys hear that. So I'm a little bit older than you guys, and I've lived a little bit longer, and I think that when you're in your 20s and 30s, and you know, you see these people that are 4, 5, 6 levels above you, you kind of idolize them, you know, just like sports heroes or whatever, and all, and you think that they've got superpowers. And once you get a little older, you know, you realize they're lucky. And you know, luck is a combination of very hard work and preparation and timing. And I think that, you know, some of these guys are just lucky that they, you know, they worked hard and they were in the right place at the right time and they got to where they were, you know, and maybe they don't deserve it, and that's why some of them don't do very well. But I think that there's a select few, and you know, I would think probably Mark Cuban is one of them, you know, that really do have a superpower. But I think that the vast majority of people, you know, in those C-suite jobs and things like that are just ordinary people. They really are. And I've learned, you know, I've learned over the years that, you know, you just make the best decisions you can. And, you know, sometimes those decisions are right, you know, and sometimes they aren't. You're usually making decisions without enough information to make an informed decision about what's going on. And so, you know, the people who do well are those that can make a good decision with less information, you know, or can make a decision at all. And some people, you know, will refuse to make a decision when they don't have enough information. And those are the people I think that more often than not fail, because not making a decision when you're in a position of power like that is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
But it's an easy thing to do, right? It's an easy thing to say, you know, I don't have enough information. Nobody knows which ways the market is going to go, so I'm not going to do anything until we know. And doing that is the kind of stuff that kills companies, in my opinion anyway. So I think that most of the C-suite people that I know, and there's a few exceptional standouts, but most of them don't have a superpower, you know, any more than I, you know, really don't have a superpower. I've just got a standard power that lots of people have. And I think that just understanding that, you know, they're going to make the best decisions they can with the information they've got. And the issue is, will they make a decision when they don't have information? Mm-hmm. I think that's the big thing that separates the winners from the losers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'd second what Chris is saying, right? It's kind of dovetails to what I was saying. You know, you meet enough of these guys, and you're just like, they're no different than anybody else. There are very few of the, yeah, Mark Cubans, Jack Welches, right, or some of these other guys that may actually have something that pushes them beyond the, you know, the herd.
So let me just see it, because I have two statements real quick. So what you guys are saying is that timing and luck is not a superpower, which is clearly what some of these people have had.
Well, luck is a combination of hard work and timing.
Okay, but right. you're saying that you don't expect to get to a person of leadership, and it could be on a customer side, or it could be on your company side, it could be a mentor. You don't expect to sit down with them and find out that they have a superpower. You expect them to be just regular people who have had timing
work out for them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. It's interesting because I don't. And I'll tell you where I differ. Let me turn around on you for a second, okay? Chris, does your management expect you to have a superpower?
Um, I don't think so. But I don't think that my management is entirely ordinary.
Right. Right. And you mean that one person?
Yeah.
I know your management. Okay. So yeah. And I've had, thanks to you, a couple of discussions with him, and I agree with you that he is not ordinary if we're talking about the same person.
Yeah.
Steve, how about you? Does your management, and now your management's a little bit difficult. People that around you, do they expect you to have a superpower?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think if I look at my, if I put it in the context of my partners in the firm that I work with, I would say no, right? Because I think all of them kind of realize the same thing that we've been talking about, that, you know, you need a little bit of luck, a whole lot of hard work, right? And maybe a little bit of a skill to get to a leadership role. I do say we have a lot of kids. As a firm, we recruit a lot of young kids, and I think those kids expect us to have a superpower, right? I think there's something out there. I think there's something to be said. There's a study. I don't know if you either of you two have seen it. It's been done a few times, and it kind of keeps to giving the same results. That, you know, I think you even if you read all the beasts, you know, the business rags, right? I mean, everybody wants to meet a CEO that's gone to Harvard or, you know, Stanford or wherever, Wharton, right? But when you look at the universe of CEOs and successful CEOs, there are very few of those guys that are Harvard grads, you know, top 10 B school grads, right? I mean, you look at guys like, you know, especially in our tech industry, right? You got the Bill Gateses, you got the Michael Dells, right? You got all these guys that have gone out there and done amazing things, but they're not, you know, a guy who got his MBA from Harvard or Wharton or Princeton or, you know, MIT or wherever it might be, right? So, but I think that's the society that we live in. We kind of expect that, but the reality is something completely different.
So something you just said, and I guess you guys are both the same on this one, because you're both hiring much of the younger people in your companies, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you said something that was interesting. You said that they expect you to have superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think all the young kids do when they start out.
So what
happened? I think we did when we were their age.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Right. So what happens when they find out that you don't have one?
Are you disillusioned?
You know, it's I'll give you an example. I have a kid who's part of my organization, and you know, we're mentoring him. And I think there's an interesting thing. I think that's maybe a little bit different than when we all started working, right? Because I think we had an expectation. I don't want to put words in either you two guys' mouth, right? That you would work your way to the top somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would take time, right? I do think some of the new generation, you know, has this expectation to move quickly to, you know, a leadership or call a you know, a high level position, right? And I think it's an unrealistic expectation, right? So we have one kid. He reports up through one of my longtime managers. Right, who went and had lunch with him, because he's been, I would say, underperforming, but, you know, not meeting some of our expectations. So sit down with him, and you know, they had the conversation with him. You know, what do you want to do? You know, where do you want to be in, you know, 5 years? Right, in the And the kid said, well, I want to be in Steven's position in 5 years. And my manager was like, you have no idea how much hard work that takes. He's like, you know, he has been working for 20 years now to get to the position he's in, right? He works 7 days a week, probably, right? You know, he's like, are you ready for that? And he was like, no. He's like, well, that isn't going to happen for you in 5 years. So I think there's a lot of, you know, just to use that example, I think there's a lot of level setting and expectation setting that has to be done with these folks.
Maybe I was unusual, but
maybe,
I felt wrong. But I mean, you know, when I look back to, you know, my middle 20s and, you know, getting, you know, promotions and switching companies and stepping up, you know, one or two levels in 3 years, you know, or 2 years or something like that. You know, and it wasn't fast enough for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fast enough for me. And I look back and you know, three promotions in 5 years, and that wasn't good enough. You know, and I look back on that. Yeah. It was a damn good run, you know, but it's like, you know, what in God's name was I thinking?
Yeah.
I think that's the common failing of youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm an adult. You know, I should get everything I want right away. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm in a company that grows 300% per year. And I'm talking to, you know, the young people that, you know, I've been here 2 years and I'm only a manager. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
You know? Oh, my God. You know. And
300% per year.
Yeah, for 3 years in a row.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yo, per year. No.
No. 900.
I think you meant per millennium.
Per millennium.
You know, I mean, when I joined the company, there were 12 of us. There are now 800. So it's kind of a, you know, 3 year kind of a, that's kind of a curve.
Yeah.
You know, and people are being promoted, you know, every couple of weeks, and it's a fantastic thing. And I'm apologizing to these kids because I'm saying, you know, I'm sorry, but you're hosed for the rest of your business career. You're never going to see anything like this. And I'm sorry because this is going to set expectations that no other job is ever going to be able to fulfill.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true.
You know, that's. It's a tough thing, but I think it's a common thing in youth, you know, in your 20s that you're going to, you know, it's not happening fast enough, or at least it was for me. And I realize, Marco, I'm not normal.
Yes. Well, thank you for that.
So what's your perspective on this whole thing? You never answered your question.
He tried to skip out on it.
He tried.
Yeah. Which question?
The question of what happens when you find out somebody doesn't have the superhero power.
I live in a different...
You live in a different state. I know New Jersey isn't quite the same, but...
Yeah. So... It's a little bit different for me. Because... Everybody that I've ever worked for expected me to have the superhero power.
Hmm.
Okay? And being Batman is usually not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the world that if I stop, people lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's because something you said that you get bored, right? And mm-hmm. I get bored to the point that I need to change my office around on a monthly basis. Things always have to be changing. Things have to be different. I live in a world that people expect you to be different. And and the status quo is just not good enough from day to day. And having the and it's not only where I am today, but normally having the what is your, you know, you have to have a superpower. I expect the people above me to also have a superpower.
And so what does that do to you when they don't?
It's pretty devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get this, I'm wasting my time. Right?
Mm.
Because if you know, I hate the analogy, but if you work at the Justice League and you find out that everybody expects you to have a superpower, but they don't. What are you really doing at the Justice League? It's not really Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
That's the issue. I also live in a world that people don't want you to have superpowers, right? Because when... Because a superpower is a two-way street. And your management wants you to have it.
Mm-hmm.
People around you need you to have it. But nobody wants to tell you that that's really important. Because then they have to pay homage to you for having a superhero power.
But I think in business, superpowers, like what we're talking about, are something that can be learned. You know, there's certain innateness to it, you know, that you have to have the you know, the natural affinity towards it.
Yeah.
You know, if I wasn't, you know, an ADD kind of a person, then having multitasking and multiple abilities in multiple different areas wouldn't come naturally, and it'd be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and the things that you guys talked about, again, there's, you know, you have to have an affinity for it, but once you do, if you apply yourself, you can certainly learn those kinds of things and be good at it. And it may take 10, 12 years, and people find, you know, some people find it hard to believe, you know, why would it take 10 years of doing a job to be able to do it well? You know, and all. But I think, you know, so I think, Marco, people expect, I think that it's not that they expect a superpower, but they expect an experience calm and controlling hand at the helm, right? They expect that they're going to bring you problems that you've seen before, or you've seen something similar to it.
Well, at least you can solve it, or at least you can solve it, right?
Right.
But it was interesting what and I'm pointing to the screen, I don't know why. It's interesting what Steve said before, right? So, Steve said that somebody wanted to be him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I personally, I'm one of those guys that wants to be him, but that's a different story. when people look at what I've done and where I've been, I have that too, but people are not willing to pay the price for it.
I think that happens to most folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not, that comes with me too, by the way. It's not just people below you, it's people above you too. People are not willing to pay the price for the superhero power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of sacrifice involved.
Yeah, they think that it's a lot easier. You know, they think that experience can be gained in weeks or months.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us on the other side of it can see that, you know, that experience takes years.
Yeah.
So, hold on a second. So, are you saying that experience is the superpower?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'll give you another story. Maybe this is something to think about. Because I think it you both can relate to it. Because I think I know at least you, Marco, have met Michael Dell before, right? Yeah. So I met him for the first time 2 weeks ago. He came to Houston for a very small kind of partner lunch. Right, there's like 10 of us. I actually got to sit right next to Michael Dell. You know, just had an open conversation just about what they're trying to do with their change to be more channel centric, right? And you know, with the privatization, where they're focusing. It was a good meeting, but I think the interesting thing was, right, I mean, here's a guy who, when I was in college and working, I used to take a, you know, 2222 out to work. I was working at Novell, and I would routinely pass him coming into Austin in his Acura NSX. And I used to watch that thing. Everybody knew whose NSX that was. And you're like, man, I'd like to be that guy, right? And then you're sitting next to the guy, and leading up to the meeting, I was like, man, I'm like, you're going to be nervous, and you're sitting down with the guy, and he's probably one of the most unassuming people you'll ever sit down and meet with. He's very down to earth, right? You know, willing to talk. I mean, sometimes he had the answers, sometimes he didn't have the answers, right, to the questions that we posed to him, but he's just an unassuming guy, and I think he would probably be one of the first people to tell you, you know, he got lucky in some results to get where he is, right? And it's just been hard work from there on out, right? All the way to getting his company back under his control and taking it private. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I know a different Michael Dell, obviously. but how did that make you feel that this guy was a down-to-earth guy? Did that make you like, wow, I could be just like him, or I could do everything that he does? Or was that like, oh, crap?
No, I think it was more of the previous. Like, look, I mean, everybody in that room was a business owner, right? Or they're probably the 10 largest either system integrators or VARs based in Houston, right? And a lot of those guys I've known since I started my career. There was probably two people in the room that I had never met face to face, but I knew who they were. And yeah, I think everybody in that room was like, you know, we could do this, right? It's something we could do. If we had been given that shot, we probably could do it, right? So, but we've done other things, right, that I think we're all proud of or happy to have achieved, right?
Accomplished.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you both for being bamboozled today.
Well, Marco, we don't mind giving you a shot to try something new. A little more warning would help.
It aided in the uncomfortable silences and the stalling.
No. This line of questioning will continue.
I think that's a threat, Chris.
Crap. Hello? Hello? I think I'm losing you guys. Hello?
Yeah. It's not working.
Yeah, I don't believe you because I know you're doing this on the Mac and those things are great.
Steve, under duress.
Steve on the other end is probably using his Surface, so we might lose him any second.
Exactly. It's tenuous at best.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining me today. I'm going to conclude this broadcast and see I think I can get. We're about 10 minutes over time, but that's okay. Thank you, everybody. I'll see you soon.
Not bad. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Steve.